And welcome to Jambalaya, where we are serving up bowl fulls of interesting things, but sometimes we don't really know what they are. But that still doesn't mean that they're not interesting, so you should definitely still listen.
It's still spicy. It still tastes great.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Cody.
And today we are talking about
the gig economy.
And God, what is such a big, some of those sexy terms? Well, you know what? I don't think it's that sexy because I think we might be a couple of the few people who might know about it or even talk about it. I know that sounded really, really narcissistic and self-centered, but I just haven't heard it that much. And when I do hear it, it's always from these very, very, how should I put this? Academic people.
I feel like as we talk about it, though, somebody listening to this is likely going to be going, oh, yeah, I have that.
I was
going
to say,
I do that all the time.
The second we start talking about it, just like, oh, yeah, that's my life. I live that way.
I have five jobs that equal two or one and a half. That's familiar.
God, that sucks.
I don't have insurance.
Like, every time I walk into any place, whether it be just a restaurant or just any retail situation, and I see kind of, I guess, older people still working and they're like 66 years old, my heart just kind of breaks a little bit. And that, God, that just seems like a terrible way to be in.
It makes sense. Maybe waiters are the original gig economy because you get paid in tips. It's kind of the deal where the place doesn't pay you very much.
I was like, could be. But at the same time, like, when I see those people, like, I immediately just think, man, you have, at the age you're at, you, if you're doing this job, you probably have very, very little financial security. I mean, I would hope that you're just kind of doing that job for extra, but most of the time, you probably don't have that much financial security. And if you're advanced in years, that's a scary thought, man.
Yeah, it's interesting, because you think it's the extra income, but nowadays there's a lot of like companies that are apps and stuff.
Yeah,
they go like, this could be your income. You can make up to $2,000 a month, or like $2,500 a month. Which, if you do the math, is still not that much, including the fact that you're not getting benefits from your side gig.
Exactly. And I mean, like, I guess that's like one of the pillars of the gig economy. Like, you get these very short-term jobs, very short contract jobs, and with no kind of benefits that from your employer. You just work a job, you get paid a certain amount of money. Like, they, from my experience, they give you most of the money that you earn, but at the same time, that it's not much. Still not much.
It depends on the service too, because a lot of them are the, they're the in-between, so they offer a service or just a social network where you get on, and then other people get on the same network that look for your services. Hmm. In that case, like, I'm not going to say the name of the apps.
Okay.
It has to do with dog walking. I'll say that because I use one of them. But it's where they take 20% of what you're making.
Say the name. They might give us like some kind of, I don't know, funding. Of some kind.
It could be Wag or Rover. I'll just say it's one of those.
Could be Wag. Are those made up names? Or
no,
those
are actual
apps. All right, yeah, I hate dogs, so I don't really have a reason.
Well, it turns out a lot of people love their dogs, so they need somebody on short notice to watch them.
They love the dogs so much, they put somebody else responsible for their care.
Yeah.
That's how much they love their
animals.
That's
how dog ownership works.
Wow.
Your heart is bigger than your means.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the lesson to take from what I just said.
Well, but anyway.
Kyle has never been babysat in his life.
Exactly.
That's different.
No, it's
that's
the same
different.
Thing. You're just babysitting things that can't talk and walk on four legs and might crap on your rug.
I mean, but like, to me, like, I was a person. I was a tiny person. Someone was legally obligated to look after me at all times. With animals, like, who gives a shit? I
Are
mean,
you saying
sorry.
That the difference between you having a babysitter or not, it was legally obligated, so had that not been there, they would have been like, hey, just crawl around here. We put up baby gates. Don't get in trouble.
I'm not going to say that would have been the case. I'm just saying that there's, you know, it could have been.
Sure.
There's a better
Here's a
chance.
Fork. There are the electrical outlets.
Go fucking nuts.
We flipped all the breakers on our circuit box. There's no way you could electrocute yourself now. Although it's going to get hot because they had to turn off the AC.
And that's how baby Kyle learned what electricity was.
I found it.
Ow. I singed off all of my hair.
That's like,
well, you gained superpowers, right? That's how that works.
I was going to say, that's exactly
just
how that works.
Just a mild bit of static electricity. Somebody yeah. pokes somebody. Just
he had
ow.
A Jolly Rancher in his mouth, too.
I got the power of watermelon.
Yeah!
But in all seriousness, guys, the gig economy.
Yeah, the other thing about that is, depending on the gig, like, maybe if you did a ride-sharing service, like a Uber or Lyft or whatever, likely you'd have steady money because people are usually looking for a ride somewhere. But it's like not every app is steady income, so you also don't get the safety net of that, where it's like a regular day job or even part-time job that has a semblance of like benefits, or you're going to a place of work that's constant. You don't have to worry about like having a week to where all of a sudden nobody's asking for your services. Mm-hmm. And that even gets weird because I know this personally, because I have to think about car stuff. But like, if you go get a loan or any kind of loan, actually, you got to give a paycheck to them or show them that you have income. Mm-hmm. And if like you don't have regular income, then like, what are you going to do? They're not going to take it on a promise. So it's very limiting, even though it's like, yeah, you can make a good amount of money if you just do this. But at the end of the day, it's like, screws you.
I think that there are levels to the gig economy. To I mean, because I mean, at this point, I've gotten kind of ambivalent about it. But I will say that for the majority of people who participate in it or have to participate in it, it's not to their benefit to participate in it. But at the same time, if we're defining the gig economy as just like working these jobs that give you these like really short contracts. Give you almost no benefits, but they offer to pay lucratively, then it kind of depends on what industry you're in, because I have a friend who works for, I won't say what company it is, but it is a like fairly large tech company. And from the way he describes it, I would define what he does as being a part of the gig economy, because he works on like these temporary contracts. Like he's an independent contractor. Basically, he doesn't like really work for the company. And so, but he gets paid a shit ton. Just Jesus. I mean, I don't want to say like shit ton. I mean, like he does okay. Like he's not a millionaire or anything.
But he's comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. He's comfortable with what he does. But at the same time, even though he's making money, I think one of the, I guess, consequences of the gig economy is that, I know I'm going to catch a ton of shit for saying this, if anyone from anyone who listens to this, is that it puts too much of the responsibility on the individual, I guess. Like, I know that sounds horrible, but just, like, think about it this way. When you, like, if the company is just, like, giving you money and just, like, oh, okay, we're not going to give you anything else. This is what we think your labor is worth. And then that means that you are in charge of taking care of your retirement. You're in charge of taking care of your health care. You're in charge of pretty much everything that has to do with you. And I can understand, like, how people would, like, you know, like, yeah, they would be super excited about that. But I think most of them would belong to that upper tier in gig economy, people who can like afford to do all that stuff.
Yeah, I think there's levels to it. Like your friend, there's a level of expertise that means it's closer to independent contractor that was before, to where it's just like, we need you temporarily, but we really need you to do this work because you're one of the few people that can do it. So we're going to pay you a lot.
Yeah, and I guess like the other thing is like, yeah, you work here temporarily, but at the same time, I mean, because I know he works with, like, the same company a lot, like, even though he's an independent contractor. If he does a good job, then he obviously, like, builds up, like, a positive rapport with those people, so they're, like, more likely to come back to him with work, so they will continue to pay him. So, I mean, so from that perspective, it's, like, really consistent. Like, he doesn't, like, ever have to worry about being out of work. Like, even if that company didn't employ him, I doubt that he would have to worry about, you know, work anyway, because like the skill set he has. But let's just take away that for a second and just focus on the consistency at which he gets work. Like the consistency at which you get work is like pretty much correlates to like your financial security.
Right.
And so if you have a lot of financial security, then like obviously that's great, and you can do more stuff. Like you're it's just like one less thing to worry about.
You can travel. You can do the extra things that you want to do.
Or just like not even like travel, just like do all those things that you know that I mentioned before. Pay for your retirement. Pay for your or whatever. But at the same time, I feel like even though it sounds good to like make the individual responsible for all that stuff, when you get down to like, not everybody like is gonna have my friend's skill set. Like, if you move down to, I don't know, a different kind of job, that would still be really like where a person would still be considered an independent contractor, but they don't have the same skill set. Like, it's a less valued skill set.
Right. It's a thing most people could do.
And yeah, and since it's a thing most people can do, maybe, like, the work that they get isn't as consistent, and they constantly have to, like, find these different gigs. Like, yeah, these different gigs.
It's weird, too.
To sustain themselves.
You're fighting with other people at that point because the level of entry is lower. So you're literally, like, fighting with your neighbor and the other people that are in the neighborhood. Like, no, it's kind of the, you know, the bird scooters that are floating around.
Yeah.
So they have a thing on that where you can maybe make $5 per scooter.
At
the end of the night, you go grab them and charge them.
Yeah.
But it turns into like there's scooters that are hanging out on blocks, and then there'd be like several people.
Mine!
Exactly.
Mine! Get away!
Like, that's not consistent. The only way to make that consistent is if like you can fight everybody else off, or you're the only person there, but you're not going to be. If it's easy money in a low bar, then there's going to be a lot of people trying to do it.
Right. And then it seems like the worst aspects of the gig economy, like as always, hit like that middle and lower tier, to where you have more people competing to do the exact same thing. And if you have more people competing to do the exact same thing, then I want to hear what you think on this because you could actually go the reverse way with it. It incentivizes like the companies that whoever they work for to, I guess, devalue their work because that worker becomes like basically replaceable because there are like 15 other people waiting in line to get the job that you have. And so when you think about it that way, that means you've eliminated their financial security. You're paying them less, so they don't have enough. They don't have as much money to invest in themselves, and so it just kind of like all these things just kind of at least those two things just kind of snowball into this just really terrible state of being.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. There's a cutoff at some point where it makes sense if you're paying somebody a lot of money, maybe you don't have to think about benefits as much because if you don't do benefits, maybe you're paying the same amount you would if you added those benefits onto their wage.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you go to that level, the like mid tier or just the bird
anything
thing,
below the top.
Yeah. Anything below the top, all of a sudden, if they say you make, $30,000 a year, all of a sudden it's like $30,000 a year. Like, that's okay. But that doesn't include you having to pay for health insurance and everything else to where literally the dollar amount they offer you is it's not a lie, but it's hiding cost, and then nobody has enough money to do anything.
I was just about to mention that. Like, I think...
Oh, also, hold on. One other thing,
okay.
You have to pay your taxes back as an independent contractor. Mm. Now, if you make only a certain amount, then they're just going to give you back the money, but if you make over a certain amount, then you owe whatever percentage of what you make because you never actually paid the government. Mm. The benefit of having a part-time or full-time is that money goes to them every paycheck, so you don't have to, like, worry about a big paycheck later.
So don't participate in like those gigs too much because the government will take what little money you have away.
They're good as some additional money, yeah.
I hate the way, I mean, because I doubt that these companies, and I'm just gonna say it, like Uber and Lyft and the bird thing you were talking about, or like any one of these companies that can be qualified as a gig company that employs any company that employs like independent contractors, I kind of doubt that some of them like intend for that job to like be somebody's main like source of income. Like, I really doubt that they intend for that to happen. But at the same time, the way they market it, like, they're obviously trying to build it up that way. Because, like you said earlier, like, before, like, we started talking on the podcast, like, yeah. Lyft or Uber would just be like, oh, you can make $2,000 a month or something like that. That, I'm not really sure on that figure, so nobody.
They have a $500 signing bonus, like, on the job sites, too. So they want, which is weird, because Uber and Lyft, at some point, they don't want drivers anymore anyway. They want to automate it. So then they don't have to pay anybody. They're just paying for their cars. So,
but with the $500, like, and whatever cash incentive that Uber or Lyft does, it, like, it doesn't come for free. Like, you got to give so many rides before you get this $500 bonus or whatever.
But it's not even that many, though. That's the thing. It's like, you, the Lyft and the Lyft thing. I knew a guy who was doing it. And he said he made, like, I don't know, something outrageous in, like, a week. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, he said he was, like, up to, like, maybe $800 or something.
Dang!
But, like, but you get that, it's something, I think it's 35 rides.
Mm.
And it goes, like, boom. Hmm. Just really quick.
Oh, okay.
Especially if you're doing it peak hours after a Grizzlies game or something. You probably do, like, in a night, on a Grizzlies game night, you probably do 15, 20 rides.
Hmm.
And then 15 more, and you got that bonus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I do know somebody that would do that. Like, you just hang out on the weekend, you're just at a bar around other people, and then you just sit there and then wait for the ride to pop up. I mean, the thing with those is it's just how they advertise it. You can't say... You probably shouldn't do it as your main job, but it makes sense as extra money because, like, if you need some extra money, then just go out on a Saturday or, like, the weekend and then hang out and fucking drive people places.
Mm. Yeah, because that's the thing is that once you get that bonus, then it sort of craters a little bit. Oh. So you're like, sweet, I made all this money. And then it, you know, it levels off at some point. It's not bad.
I was going to say, I'm interested in hearing more about that. You say it craters off?
Like, I mean, it just sort of levels off. Like, it's, you're not going to be making $800 every week. But you probably make, I don't know, you know, three, maybe. Mm-hmm. But you see that first week that you're doing it, and you're like, holy shit, man. You know, fucking making $20 an hour or something, you know?
That's the thing. It's all promise. It's like you start this, and then you can just keep making money every week, and then you go, oh, that'll be enough. But then at some point, it's not quite what it's promised, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, now I got to find another gig.
Because
if all you're doing is gigs, one's never enough. You're, like, just grabbing a bunch of extra shit and dealing with a bunch of different companies. And at the same time, you don't have benefits, and it's not reliable, so it turns into a... just stress because it's the thing to where it's just not reliable.
Inconsistency is the word I think you're looking for, which is unreliable.
Or that word. Which is just unreliable. We can use either.
I'm sorry.
You corrected me.
I mean, because I only did Lyft. Well, no, I still do Lyft from time to time. And so...
I will probably in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I got extra money off of it, but at the same time... It's like you said, like, if you pick a night, like a Grizzlies night or something like that, and, yeah, you can make some money. Like, you could, I don't want to say, you can make some money if you pick, like, one of those nights to do it.
In the app, it shows you how much you've made.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that idea is sort of misleading because you're probably spending so much on gas.
Oh, yeah, and you're putting miles on your car. That's the other thing. You're wearing it out by, like, driving it around all day.
I mean, I wasn't going to bring up that point because sometimes... But, yeah, that's definitely a thing. I mean, because I wasn't going to bring up that point because, yeah, you're putting miles on your car and you're making it work harder, obviously. But that's just, like, a variable thing. I mean, some people, it's just that thing. You never know when your car is going to break down, so why not just go out and do some lifting and
But there are jobs if you're working and then you know it's a cost, you can include that cost and you're reimbursed by your company.
That
and that's just
true.
Not something that exists if it's a part-time or like service thing. Because what does Uber...
If it's a gig.
It is. Because the gig, it's maybe this is not quite... Because the gig in my mind is the part to where there's a service and then there are people looking for the service. And all the company does is just the in-between. But they don't provide any resources or anything like that to the person that's doing the service. In fact, they might take some of your income. They might be like, okay, we're going to take 10% of whatever you set is your charge. To where it's, they're not doing anything at that point.
And also, the thing that I just thought about was, all right, like if you go downtown, let's just say it's supposed to be, it's a weekend where like the basketball team is playing. What if the basketball team like is really, really fucking sucky that year, and you got like 10 people, and you don't have as many people coming to the game?
Yeah.
I mean, your rent's still due no matter what.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, and if we're talking local here,
yeah,
you know, Beale Street just kind of dries up after summer, really after fall. In the winter, that place is dead.
So like seasonal changes affect your income too. Like once
bartenders
again,
bartenders on Beale Street.
I was gonna say this just like all goes back to the inconsistency of like that, the inconsistency of your income if you go into like one of these gigs. And like I was saying before, like I don't care. Like I mean, nobody, the rent man doesn't care. How quickly Bill Street dries up, or if the Grizzlies suck, you better have that money on the first of the month.
Spider-Man 3.
Nice. There you go.
When that dude was like, hey, I need the rent. And then he was all gooed out, you know? And he was like, yeah, fix the door.
Oh, yeah.
There was no Spider-Man 3,
yeah,
man.
That movie,
what are you talking about?
That movie fucking
what?
Sucks.
That movie where that guy does that awesome
about.
Dance and he's wearing that cool suit.
Who directed that
cool
film?
Sam Raimi, the guy that directed the other two.
I mean, like, how did it just go downhill from... I mean, I know we're just getting away from the real topic, but I want to talk about this more.
It's
but,
just, you know, Tobes Maguire, books. Man.
Tobes Maguire.
Tobes. He's just... Oh, I don't know, man. He's such a bad Spider-Man, man.
What?
He
wasn't.
He's like a pretty good Peter Parker, but Spider-Man, he's like, oh, I'm Tobey Maguire. I'm Spider-Man. Hey,
I mean, because
hey,
like,
I'm Spider-Man.
He
kind of
seems like he's having fun sometimes.
All right, so I will,
but not really.
Even though
I'm a
nerd, I liked. Oh, that's exactly. But, okay,
Parker's
I liked Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, he's,
but
he's a pretty good Peter Parker.
I was gonna say, but it might be that thing that we're like, oh man, you were the first Spider-Man in the first Spider-Man movie. Like that just means that, oh yeah, I automatically like you because it's just this thing that's never been done before.
You know,
so it could be a little bit of that. Why?
Like Spider-Man is like quippy, you know? He's not like a fucking nerd.
Well, think of it this way. So Batman has a voice, or Christian Bale Batman has a voice when he's Batman, where he's like, hi, I'm Christian Bale, and he's Batman. He's like, I'm Batman. Yeah. So if Peter Parker was like, well, I don't know, guys, shucks. And then he put on the spider suit, and he was like, oh, you got webbed.
See, it should have been Tobes as Peter Parker, and then Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
That would actually make sense. The dude's head to toe covered, and like, nobody would care.
Or just get Tom Holland.
He was just really, I mean, he was just kind of cringeworthy when, like, well, Tobey Maguire, when Tobey Maguire did try to do the quips in the first Spider-Man movie, they did sound, like, really out of place. Like, when he was wrestling the guy, and he was just like, that's a nice shirt. Did your husband buy it for you? Oh, zing. Got you.
Woo. Did you hear me say that? Did you hear it?
Hey. Yeah. In Spider-Man 3, okay, I will say I liked Topher. I don't think he played a good Eddie Brock,
okay.
But I thought he played
a great David Duke.
I thought that he played a good character.
Yeah.
Who happened to be named Eddie Brock.
Can't I what now I'm imagining that David Duke has
as Venom.
What's the guy who's the guy that's in the new Venom movie?
Tom Hardy.
Oh yeah, Tom
Can you imagine
Hardy.
What it would be like if Tom Hardy played Spider-Man?
Was a racist?
Oh, no, they no, get no. Sorry, I hope he's not.
Sorry, Tom Hardy's not a racist. About it, just
that man. I you know
cause they have the tried thing... to quip. I got you. I'm Spider-Man.
I definitely couldn't see him playing Peter Parker because, like, he's just like. You know, Tom Hardy is just rocking that dirty ass smolder all the fucking time, man.
That's true.
And he's just like,
he looks like too much of a man to be Peter Parker.
He's like, nah, nah.
He said, squat, big man.
I also feel like he would just curse way too much. Here to challenge me again, Spider-Man. Why don't you go fuck yourself?
What? Spider-Man's like, what? Wait, what'd you say? I just imagine, but like, a villain's fighting him. Sinestro? Is Sinestro, or is it... Who's the guy that cast illusions in Spider-Man?
Has, Mysterio?
Mysterio. Mysterio is fighting him, and he's like, I'll get you, Spider-Man. Let me cast this cloud illusion. Oh, Mary Jane is falling. And Spider-Man's like, what the fuck? Fuck you, man! And Mysterio's like, wait, what? Are you okay, Spider-Man? Did I push you too far? I'm sorry.
And then he brainwashes Wolverine to murder everyone.
Oh, yeah. That sort of... Did that actually happen?
Hashtag
or was it...
old man Logan.
Oh, yeah, that did happen. That's a great comic book.
It is.
So, anyway...
I want to see a comic book where it's just Matt Murdock defending other people.
Like
no,
in court,
there's no Daredevil at all.
Like in court, or like actually, court, oh, like oh, yeah.
I think that'd be pretty fun. You know,
the trials and tribulations of Matt Murdock.
That'd sound like false advertising.
I would
if
not read that comic book. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
You would absorb would it never... straight into your head.
I wouldn't spend any money on that comic book. Unless I just had some kind of guaranteed income.
It's like an action bubble, and it just says habeas corpus.
You know, so that's the thing. Like, I'm imagining, going back to Uber, what's the money value of all those people that did not drive inebriated because they had an Uber driver or not a Yelp? What's the other one?
Oh, yeah.
Lyft driver. So if you calculate, like, the value of that or how much money was saved or how many medical bills, like, that's a pretty important job. There's not one like it. But then the people doing it only get paid a little bit. But yeah, you think about the actual contribution to society, it's a lot.
Huh.
So should we encourage
that?
That
is absolutely true.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe if there was a basic income to where people could have time to do the jobs that were more helpful as opposed to doing clerical stuff that's just not overall and not that contributory,
well, that's,
it'd be better.
That's what Bill Gates was saying, and you were talking about the, like, automated cars earlier. He was saying that basically so much shit is going to be automated in the near future that a basic income is going to be necessary.
I'm just going to take a moment right now. So I was having a conversation with someone over minimum wage hikes. And basically, his point was that, well, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that, like, when minimum wage increases, all these poor companies just have to lay off people. And what else do they have to do? They have to lay off people, and they have to raise prices on their products, and a couple of more things.
Yeah.
They just have to do all these things. Why? So they can maintain their profit margins. Okay, so there's a bunch of evidence to suggest that, and I believe it. Like, 100% those things... I know that those things are true. That, like, companies...
A little bit more inflation would be the argument, I think.
I was going to say, so I know those things are true, but here's what my response to it. I want to put those companies have to do those things in some really big-ass quotation marks. They don't have to do those things. They just do those things so they can stay, quote-unquote, competitive. And I'm putting... I know that sounds bad, but I'm putting competitive in quotation marks because really what they're actually trying to do is just... I mean, I don't want to say dominate or monopolize the space that they're in, but that's actually what they're trying to do. Like, there is more evidence to suggest that it's no longer, in a lot of industries, I don't know if this is true for the restaurant industry, but in a lot of industries, there's really no such thing as a free market anymore. It's just a couple of monopolies that are you can't even say competing anymore. They just kind of exist and they just dominate everything.
Right. If a company owns every, like, if every other company is a subsidy of a larger company, then nobody's actually competing with each other at that point.
Ah, okay. That's a good way of putting it.
I mean, it's the thing to where, crap. I had the thought and it left me as I was about to say it.
I'll say, but my point is that the companies don't have to do any of those things to the worker. And then on top of that, you're trying to make it seem like you're doing a disservice to the workers by increasing their minimum wage. And, oh, the other thing was that, like, if the companies are forced to increase minimum wage, then they will be more incentivized to, like, make this push towards more automated services. But my response to that is, all right, if you're a business and your primary concern, like, is your profits and you're, like, maintaining, like, you know, some kind of competitive edge, then you're already incentivized to do that anyway. So you're probably going to go and purchase those, like, you're probably going to go in the direction of automation with or without any kind of wage hike. You, like, it's just going to happen anyway because you're trying to, like, stay competitive in the market, basically.
Right. If you're a company and then you look at the people you employ as just a line item to where, like, this is a cost. Because a business thinks of profit, then there's two ways you go. You either make things cost less or you make more money. But if it's a significant cost, then what you do is you cut those line items, which might be people. But, like, if you take away all regulations and stuff, then that's what a business is incentivized to do. There's no, like, morality either way of a business. They just do what makes money. So it turns into they're not going to take care of their employees. It's the same reason there's gig economy and contract employees, because if you have a contract, you don't have to worry about how your employees are doing. You just care if they do the job, and then you can forget about it.
And then once again, like, that kind of goes back to the point we made about the gig economy, to where, like, the people in the upper tier, like, as always, are safe. The people who, like, have these really high-skilled jobs, they're safe. But at the same time, like, when you move down to the middle and lower tiers, you just have, like, this really fierce competition between people, to where, like, some would argue that, like, it's good that people are competing. That means, like, only the best people will win. But at the same time, the businesses like it because they, like, can devalue the labor of the workers because they know that they can just find someone else to do the job that they're about to give person A.
Yeah.
At the same price or maybe at a lower price.
I thought of this earlier. It kind of relates, but there's the thing, because right now the economy keeps adding jobs, but then the wage doesn't quite match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gig economies, I suppose, are more jobs. So if you start Uber driving 1 week, you can say that's a job. But like we were saying, if that's all you're doing and it's not steady and it's not enough, then yeah, there's more jobs, but none of them are actually effective. I mean, they're not doing what you need to do. So yeah, sure, you got more jobs, but wages didn't go up.
Also, on the point of, according to, like, the most recent news statements, like, all these jobs are being added to the economy. Like, all right, I'm about to move into, like, conspiracy territory, so feel free to just call bullshit and just be like, you're terrible,
guy. InfoWars.
Who turned the frogs gay?
Hillary's into some weird sick shit, man. Look in the basement with the pizza. Alright, but anyway. So here's, like, my conspiracy. Okay, so like, when I was in grad school and I was doing, like, the final research stuff for something I was working on with for a sociology class. Anyway, the topic that I had chosen was corporate malfeasance. So, long story short, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that many, quote, multinational corporations engage in a type of malfeasance to where, basically, in order to kind of cheat the system, they'll make all these, like shell companies or dummy companies, to where, like, if you're looking at something like this on paper, then it'll look like there's a bunch of businesses and, like, people work for them.
Right.
But those businesses don't actually exist. They're just, like, they're just fugazi.
Yeah.
I got to use the word fugazi in a sentence. I'm proud
of myself. Fugazi.
You weren't talking
fugazi
about the band.
Yeah, it's just fugazi, and Like,
so you mean it's good?
No. Wait. Somebody Google Fugazi. Like, I think it means just, like, not real.
I think it's literally, I heard of somebody going, it's a for what? It's a for this. It's a Fugazi. It's a Fugazi. When they were talking about, like, counterfeit purses.
Okay. So, yeah.
It's pronounced Fushigi.
Well, either way, the point is that...
You see a Fushigi brand, anything, don't buy it.
The point is that even though these jobs exist on paper and are being counted as real jobs, then they're not, basically. But they'll be counted as such.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, like I said, that was a few minutes in Conspiracy Corner.
I mean, you shouldn't just swallow numbers. Like, or you should at least think of how numbers are formed. It's the thing to where if you say number of jobs versus wage, like that's a more detailed picture of our economy, and it's so much easier to just be like, more jobs equals better, right? When it's not that simple.
Well, exactly. So, listening to NPR, there was some comment speaking.
You liberal.
Listen to that liberal hippie bullshit on NPR. Anyway, so, well, this is actually something that cuts across the political spectrum. Excuse me.
Kyle.
That was gross, and everybody heard it.
They were basically saying that we need better ways to measure the economy other than, like, just GDP and things of that nature, because it doesn't really give you a sense of how people are actually living in the country, which is the most important thing. And I mean, like, a good example of that is, I think we talked about this. If we did, I'm going to repeat it anyway. Like, in 1955 in Chile, with the Pinochet regime.
We did talk about it a while ago.
Yeah, I'm just going to tie it all together.
Bring it together.
So, like, with the Pinochet regime. So, with that guy, Augusto Pinochet, he was, like, a... What's the word I'm looking for? Uber capitalist. Like an uber free market capitalist. And that's what he wanted the economic system for his country to be. And so the thing was, if you looked at Chile during his reign, just pure economics, it was doing great. Like, unemployment was low, GDP was high, all these things. But at the same time, wages, like, weren't that great. And two, the people were getting really, really fucking tired of the people who were in power, mostly because, like, they knew that the only people that were actually getting, like, actually getting the benefits from this economy were the rich people, basically, the people who, like, could afford enough to, like, invest in the economy. Those are the only people who, like, saw dividends and payoffs from it. So, long story short, the people who lived in Chile during that time got so pissed off that they overthrew Augusto Pinochet because things had gotten that bad.
That makes me think of something, and this is about
America? Is that what it makes you think of?
Kind of, because this is like, the other thing is, if you give a bunch of people jobs, you say, you have these jobs. Well, now I'm thinking of the person that has three jobs, and then they only had one before, and then all of a sudden, like, I have three jobs. More jobs equals better, when they're like, the reason you have three jobs is you can't, two of them don't pay a regular job.
I also want to add in that during Pinochet's regime, in addition to, like, people being unhappy, the deficit of the country was extremely high. Once again, another parallel to America right now. Continue, Cody.
Yeah, the numbers... It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just means there's more jobs. It doesn't mean it's better jobs. And at some point, I don't know, when you talk about regulation and then, like, companies choosing to prioritize profit, so then they'd fire more people if there's a minimum wage or something like that.
Like, what? I'm sorry.
Well, I was about to connect it to basic income.
That's what I was going to do.
So, to rely on a business to look out for you, maybe if there's no regulations, it's probably not the smartest idea, because they just don't have the incentive. Again, businesses are not, they're things, they're not necessarily people. The moral incentive of a business is to make money. That's all they care about. So, why would you think they're going to look out for their employees? So, and if they don't look out for their employees, who will?
Businesses are people. Citizens united, you communist motherfucker.
Hey, I'm a communist, socialist, something, something, something. A little bit of a capitalist.
But anyway, I'm sorry. Oh, were you done?
Yeah, I was done. That's the thing. Just don't expect companies to look out for you. And if they aren't, then who is going to set up a basic thing? Also, companies aren't looking for the best of society either. They're not looking for what makes society better. It's just money. Now I'm done.
So I definitely agree that businesses aren't going to take care of you. I mean, I mostly agree that businesses aren't going to take care of you. But I think we should, like, once again, like, put that into context. Because I think that if you're in that upper high skill level tier, then businesses will make more of an attempt to take care of you. Why? Because you're a person with the skill set that they need, and it's a skill set that's fairly or relatively rare. So they're going to do what they can to keep you there.
Right.
Where you come in and, like, where I think what you just said applies more is, like, when you exit, like, go down below, and businesses really have no incentive to, like, take care of their workers because they're disposable, basically, because they know that they can get someone else to do that job for the exact same price or lower price. So, yeah, businesses don't care about you when you're, like, in the lower tier of the gig economy.
But what about all those corporations that give money and then talk about all their philanthropic – wow, that word about giving – philanthropic.
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 Philanthropic. Full-on rapist.
Oh, no. That's therapist.
That was an Always Sunny joke. Please don't think that other things about us.
Sorry, did you say you're a full-on rapist? Yeah, you know, like kids and...
Such a funny show.
It's and a great show.
I will always stand by that.
Just put milk steak. She'll know what it means.
But you smell like cheese.
Too much cheese is too much cheese.
Any amount of cheese is too much cheese. What was I about to say?
I was interjecting the fact, like, companies will do the thing where they give money or they publicize their philanthropic efforts, partly to look better and look like they're caring.
But... Oh, yes. Okay, so, like, on that topic, okay, let's just use the example of, like, these companies, like, after it was announced that there were going to be these tremendous tax cuts, and these businesses were going to be able to save so much money. A bunch of them were just like, yeah, we'll be able to pay our employees more, and we can, you know, make the wage go up, and we can just do all these good things, which was true for about 15 seconds after they said it. Like, some of them did some companies did, like, this one-time bonus thing to where just, like, you get $2,000 and you get $2,000 and everybody gets $2,000. All right, no one gets any more raises for the next 15 years.
Back to regularly, their regular routine.
Exactly. So, you could make a pretty strong argument that it was just a publicity stunt to, like, you know, get people to see that just like, hey, we're not so bad, guys. We care about things. Wink, wink. Thanks, Donald Trump.
That's like...
Keep doing this. Even though we avoid paying taxes anyway.
They're, like, publicizing their like, charitable shit and stuff. That's always such a weird thing to me. I have thought in the past that charity should just be straight altruistic. And when there's something for the other person involved, I'm just like, that is fucking disingenuous as hell.
It's like there's that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm to where Larry David is an anonymous donor, and the entire time he just wants to tell somebody. It's like until the end, I think he blurts it out or something.
Yeah. It's that whole thing. I have, you know, other people say, but hey, at least other people are getting help. People who need help.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, that was going to be my response.
And so, and that is very true. Very, very true. But
I'd say the actual harm in that is when somebody does that and they feel vindicated or at least publicly approved of and accepted, then that gives them a fig leaf or a cover to keep doing whatever policy they know they need to cover up, because they feel like they solved the problem without actually solving the problem.
I was just going to be real simple with it. Just like, it just makes them, it's just good PR. It just makes them look better. Just gives them that little shoehorn into the heart doors of everybody. Just everybody just been like, we're not that. We're
That big, bad, evil coal company gave money to something.
I saw them pet a puppy. Actually, they officiated the puppy bowl.
They gave money to blind people who they made blind.
That's the best way to put it, actually. These
products actually made blind. And it really wasn't that much. I mean, I say they donated.
I'm just going to go swimming in Lake Michigan.
Hey, I'm sorry. No, it's like a dad walks up to the kid who was blinded in a terrible accident. He's like, hey, Billy, I know you're sad you can't see anything, but we got something awesome in the mail. We got this $20 coupon to Chili's.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
I'll help you eat the food if you can't see it. It's okay.
Yeah, they here's donated. A Monsanto hat.
Make sure every time you wear it, someone takes a picture and they post it on Instagram.
It says on the coupon that you're legally not allowed to say how you became blinded. You just have to say, thank you. I love Chili's.
And when you post your pictures on Instagram inside your Monsanto hat, there needs to be a hashtag, I heart Monsanto.
I love these Southwest pork nibblings.
Because I'm blind, I can taste things stronger.
That totally don't give you eyelid boils.
Umami.
How's that not a catch line, a tagline for umami?
But anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. I put a quarter in one of those boxes one time. I'm a good person. I put it on Facebook.
I'm a good person.
I got rid of my change once that I didn't want. Yeah, no, it's the corporate. They want to look better that way.
Yes, and all right. So there's no real like way to Sieg into this. Shut up, it's Sieg. There's Sieg. No real way to Sieg
write your
into
emails
this.
Now.
Yes,
but. When a culture like that has been, when a culture like that has been created to where most of the people are not being, most of the people aren't being taken care of by their employers, it just begs the question. It's just like, what can we be done since most of these people aren't getting the benefit of actually being workers? And so the idea that's been floated around, everybody knows this by now, like basic minimum income or guaranteed minimum income or negative income tax, whatever you want to call it. It's been around for forever.
It's currently in Alaska.
Yeah, it's currently in Alaska. They get it from their oil
shares.
Yeah, oil shares.
Is the governor of Alaska Republican or Democrat?
I'm not sure.
Is it still Sarah Palin? I'm very up on the current shit.
It's a polar bear.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's a Republican polar bear who denies climate change.
Boom.
Put a bow tie on it.
Anyway, like, I am in favor of basic minimum income. I mean, like, I do have, like, some things that I'm skeptical of. Like, for instance, like, the big... Well,
Loch Ness Monster. Me too, man. I'm very skeptical of that.
But before I get into like the things that like scare me about basic minimum income, I just want to go with like the goods of basic minimum income. Like one, I think it would be a good way to facilitate financial security for everybody. And if everyone has my reasoning is if more people have more financial security, then it provides just like a massive net good for society. I mean, obviously, okay, if you assume that, like, most, for example, if you assume that most crime happens because people just don't have enough money, boom, you just solved that problem because right. People are now getting enough money to where they can actually provide, like, the basic necessities for themselves, like just food and housing and things like that.
Yeah, well, I was... You know, we were talking earlier about this sort of basic income. And as far as it's a different sort of thing, us living in Memphis, like very inexpensive city to live in, and the same thing going to somewhere like San Francisco or pretty much any city in California, really. But as far as living in Memphis goes, that would certainly put a fucking roof over your head. Sorry. Using all the swear words today.
That is absolutely fine. Now, like, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's actually something that a lot of people have brought up, just like the cost of living, the various costs of living around the country. So I guess the way to counter that, or like the response to that, is even if people are given a basic minimum income, that doesn't mean that you can't work inside that state.
It's the thing, to basic minimum income doesn't imply that you completely are taking care of everybody. You're just giving them a floor.
Yeah.
And they can still not have a lot of money. You're just making sure that people aren't extremely impoverished, which maybe leads to other problems.
A couple of basic amenities, you know.
A Nintendo. literally, I mean the old one, an NES.
Yes. No controller, though.
No.
You can just look at it.
And then I guess the second benefit to it, it'd probably be that it implements more equity in society, to where we can say that social or just economic standing in society affects a bunch of things in your life. A person who is born with a lot of money is probably gonna have way more opportunities than a person who isn't born with a lot of money.
And way more time, because they don't have to work.
And also
so
that,
much.
And they have way more time. Just have way more freedom and way more, just way more freedom than someone who has to do all those things in order to survive. If you provide that for people, then everybody is able to, or most people will be able to, pursue something that is more, I guess, fulfilling or enriching for themselves, or just like they'll be more able to better themselves. And probably, this is probably kind of idyllic, but be a more of a asset to society. I mean, because if you're in a place where you don't have to worry, if you were in a place to where you had to worry about how am I going to keep a roof over my head, how am I going to feed myself, how am I going to do this, how am I going to do that, and then suddenly you don't have to worry about those things anymore, you can now entertain the idea of just like, oh, maybe I'll go back to school, or maybe I'll learn some kind of skill, something.
Probably
like
drop a lot of that anxiety that goes along with, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's the argument against it is some people would use it and then not, like, better themselves or make things. But even with that argument, thinking about the money that goes to everybody else.
Can I respond to that argument? Because I hear so many people say that.
Please. Yeah, and then I'll have another counter-argument against it, too. But you can go first.
All right, so to the people who make that argument, just like, oh, well, if you just give everybody free money or a check in the mail, then how do we stop the people who aren't going to do anything, who aren't going to, like, I don't know, who are just going to sit around all day and do drugs? How do we stop them? First of all, like, that's not even your concern. I know that's a really weak answer, but that's just like the first thing that I would have to say. Second of all, how is someone abusing that benefit any different than, I don't know, someone like Richard Spencer using the First Amendment to promote hate speech? Like, I don't see a difference between those two things. Like, if you guys disagree, please respond.
No, I think it's the not a straw man argument, because somebody would use the money and then not use it for the stuff they really need, but like you could say that's the majority of people. There'd be some waste, but the question is it more effective using than not?
Like, it, my question is it a net good,
exactly,
for society?
And then I'm thinking about it, so if it's the progressive tax system and that money comes from people higher with income, like say the people that are in our safer spots, even if they're independent contractors, like friend that talked about earlier, not super high income, but like generally from the top goes down, that money is going to be spent anyway. Because if you don't have any money, what you're going to do is buy your necessities. Because if you don't, you're going to starve or you won't have anywhere to live. So that's money that goes right back into the economy. Mm. Like, if you have a bunch of money, it's more likely that you're not going to spend it. You're just going to keep it safe and then just make interest off of it somehow. Like, you want to say that there'd be a few people that would waste it. But, you know, as long as they do it legally, it's still not even being wasted. Like, maybe it's not best for them, but it's still stimulating the economy somehow.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's my response.
Yeah, I don't think it would be nearly as widespread as those people want to make it out to be. Also, those people are just jerks and assholes.
Okay.
It's just... When somebody makes those sort of arguments, all I'm thinking is, like, you silver spoon in mouth fuck. What is wrong with you that that's where your fucking brain goes?
I mean, well, now that I've, like, kind of calmed down a little bit, now that I've stepped off my soapbox, I mean, like, I guess... I can see where those people who make that argument come from. I mean, because we, just like in the context of America, of American society, we have this really strange conception of what work is and how it plays into our lives. I would even go as far as to say that, like, it's pretty... I don't know, like, it's... It's like some kind of Protestant work ethic to where, like, if you're not working, then you have no value whatsoever to society and you don't deserve anything.
Right. It's you don't deserve benefits unless it's a full-time job and stuff like that. To where you can't be selective with your time for work. You got to commit to 40 hours a week. Otherwise, you don't get the protections and the safety net, like, afforded by a lot of other people. I mean, you still have Social Security, but... There's the other stuff that definitely benefits from working a full-time job.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so from that perspective, I understand the argument that we just live in a society that has an understandable but at the same time strange conception of a strange relationship with work or the concept of work. So from there, I understand it.
Yeah, and I think it's the efficiency of stuff is running into that idea that everybody has to work. Whereas technology develops and then we figure out how to make things more efficiently, then there's just less work that needs
to be
done.
Well, not less work that needs to be done, but less work for people to be involved.
Right, and we have more people every year, so that's just like less stuff that needs to be done by people and then more people for less stuff. It just keeps growing.
I will say... You are incorrect, Cody. Birth rates have been falling for like the past 5 years.
Really?
So there's not more people.
I thought that was just
Handmaid's Tale.
And I'm very happy about that.
What is the actual, what's the percentage or what's the growth rate?
I'm not sure. But I just know the fact that they have been dropping for the past five
years.
Well,
that's good.
But the thing about, the thing about that is when you live in, post-materialist societies, kind of like, industrial post-material society is kind of like America is right now, then that's kind of like what all the research suggests, that birth rates will fall because people, for whatever reason, just don't want... People either have children later or they just don't want to have any children at all. And then, like, that's compounded by the fact that, by what we've been talking about the whole time, most people don't have enough financial security or economic security to support a family or children anymore.
Yeah, and then now we have even more of a choice if we want a baby or not. Like, if you go back, it's like when contraceptives weren't as embedded in our culture or as available, at some point they're like,
oh. Sex education.
We have great sex education now.
I feel like it's getting better, though. It's
no
just...
more babies? Yeah, it is better.
I mean...
Or sexual education, what
you're
talking about.
You know, like I feel like someone should just go into a high school and be like, "Look, children, do not go in raw."
It's very simple. I know you think you're the quick draw, but sometimes that doesn't work. A lot of times it doesn't. Put on a hat.
All
You're scared straight, aren't you? No, wrong group.
Peel this orange. No, but just with the internet and shit and people being... knowledge being more available to people. Like, when I was a kid growing up, and I'm not saying like anything about, I'm saying more about the technology perspective inside of the technology perspective. Mm. I didn't have the internet until I was like probably 10. And so information was like going to the library.
I love the library.
The library's great.
Well, you know what? People go to the library now to use the internet if they don't have internet.
Yeah.
It's like weird. Yeah.
Or Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. Starbucks.
Yeah.
But chances are, if you look too poor, they won't let you go into Starbucks. Which means that you'll probably have to go to the library.
I'll take a water. And, give me one packet of the raw sugar.
That's a terrible thing I just said.
You sound like the guy from Men in Black. The dude inside the cock. No, it's the cockroach inside the man suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, little, you're sure.
Basic minimum income.
Fucking Vincent D'Onofrio, man.
Even aliens need basic minimum income.
Is he a good actor or not? He's the guy who played Kingpin, by
the
way.
Oh, yeah, he's a great actor. He's
he is
weird.
A good actor. Basic minimum income.
You, say, you want me to put my hands on my head like this. Okay.
So he was also
on the Men in Black idea a little bit.
He was also in Law and Order.
Or... yes, it was. Yeah. It was Criminal Intent, I believe.
Yeah. Anyway, Basic Minimum Income. Like, I think I've shared like the things that I like about it, but the thing that I'm most skeptical about Basic Minimum Income is, all right, so if people are getting like, I don't know, $1,000 a month, what's to stop the quote-unquote invisible hand of the market from responding to people getting $1,000 a month? And I think you guys were talking about this earlier. And what I mean by that is, all right, your landlord knows that you're getting $1,000 a month because he's getting $1,000 a month because he knows everybody's getting $1,000 a month. So him being the industrious entrepreneur that he is, he's going to be like, oh, well, rent's going to go up $500 because I know you've got it. But the thing about that is nothing, like in this situation, nothing has changed about where you live. Like, you still live in the same apartment using the same amount of resources. This, the owner of the property has just arbitrarily decided that I want more money. Which leads me to believe that, like, the invisible hand of the market, put that in quotation marks because it's really not invisible, is just composed of opportunism.
Fairly obvious hands.
Yeah, just, like, opportunism and greed. Like, for most things, like, there's no real... it doesn't seem like there are any real constraints on, like, what... well, all right. For most
well,
things...
okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, competitive, like, if you're... it's still following under the... incentives and economics and invisible hand. But if there's competition, then if one person goes, I'm gonna make this $500 more, then the person next to him is like, oh hey, I got cheaper rent, then you should come here, and then that person loses business. But I am skeptical because I feel like it is the thing to where if it's so well known and then everybody knows that everybody has $1,000 more, then if everybody does it, then there's no
way
to get around
the effect. They've canceled out the effect,
right,
of getting that extra money.
And if it's a monopoly, like if we all got $1,000 more, then I'm sure Comcast would be like, oh, okay, well then you can afford to pay a little bit more for your internet.
All right. And so here's where, well, and it's because of this situation that I think we should kind of like look towards like China and like what they've been able to do with their economy. Like, they have definitely moved away from like strict communism and that kind of shit, but at the same time their economy still is in part centrally planned. And so, like, what I mean by centrally planned is that the government has more of a say in like what the market does,
and they subsidize more things and invest or pay for the stuff they really want,
right? So I think if we could just do that to where the government like has like, the government has more say in, like, the, I guess, pricing of certain things, or just, like, the government has more say in the market period. I think basic minimum income, like, has a shot of existing.
It would exist, but then I feel like you'd get the argument against it where they'd go, that's not capitalism, you're getting into communism and socialism, and then all of a sudden you can't, like...
I mean, those are the arguments. Like, though, people, there will undoubtedly be people who say that, especially those people who are, like, really, like, these... really staunch free market capitalists or libertarians like that. But to them, I would say, like, it's not a free market anymore. Like, not at all.
No. If you look at monopolies, I mean, that's you go invisible hand and then economies work themselves out. But they do work themselves out, but somebody, a business that's leading, will do the thing that gets it more money. And at the end of the day, that's less competition.
Hmm.
So the incentive for a company is to just make sure nobody's competing by buying the competition or, like, underselling them. So, it doesn't – it ends in something else. It might start that way, but it ends in one company because power concentrates itself because it benefits fewer people.
Are there any – is there anyone out there really, like, saying, like, no, don't give me $1,000 a month?
Yeah.
Really?
If you're in the high income tax bracket, you get than $1,000 taken out of your thing at the end of the year.
Like, it's not even just like people who are uber, like, super rich. They're just the people who are ideologically opposed to the thought of the government just giving everybody basic minimum income.
Yeah, if you're concerned about the debt, that's an argument against it.
Hmm.
Assuming it would lead to more debt, although I would say that people are going to probably spend the money you give to them.
I think that overall, that would be a very easy step into people who are uncomfortable with socialism.
Like, if you gave them $1,000 a month, then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, that's socialism.
Oh, yeah, that's what
I think I'm okay with this.
Well, you know, that's like everybody points to Venezuela as a failed socialist, but I mean, that's what they do with gas. They're like, okay, we're going to make gas free for everybody.
Hmm.
Also, I would like to just say, like, when people throw out the example of Venezuela just being a failed socialist state, okay, I will grant you that at this point it is definitely a failed state. But at the same time, it's not like the fact that they were socialists had little to almost nothing to do with their failure. Their failure
Were they a world power before that?
They were not a world power before that, but they were doing okay. But the thing that, like, the primary issue was that most of their economy was based on oil.
Yeah, because the thing they had the most reserves of.
Yeah, and so, like, when oil prices fell, like, that just destroyed their economy. Mm. And the thing, it kind of just, like, had that snowballing effect. The economy got destroyed, so they were trying to, and it was a socialist country, so the socialist programs that they had were pretty expensive, and the government, like, couldn't support those programs anymore, and so everything just kind of got destroyed.
Like, that's the thing with having the basic income is you give people money, but you would still have businesses, and then you would still have people that would start businesses or trying to sell stuff. Like, I guess this is in my head, I think the argument that somebody would just take the money and not do anything is just, I don't think that's how people would behave. Like, it would be the same way to where part of the difference, like, capitalism is people seeing an opportunity and trying to take advantage and then selling things to people. Like, why would that stop? Like, you don't need to have, the United States doesn't need to just subsidize one thing.
Hmm. I mean, I just gave you the extent of my knowledge of Venezuela, but, like, I can guess, like, as to, like, why that might happen. So,
I mean, like, we give a lot of money for corn.
I mean, I guess so. If you have a country where people are that's doing well, but people are definitely taking advantage of, like, socialist policies, and people are getting money from the government in order to, you know, maintain their sustain themselves, and all of a sudden, like, they don't have that anymore. Like, yeah, the businesses, like, they can still sell stuff, but now they're at the point where, like, they have to sell to where I guess people have less. I don't know. Just forget everything I just said.
I mean, it just seems like if your economy is based around Uno thing, then I don't know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Seems pretty easy for the bottom to drop out.
Yeah.
So the word for the day is diversify your economy. Diversify your portfolio, kids.
For a financial podcast, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Especially when did this change happen? When did they start the socialist idea?
I am actually not sure.
But like, can you give me like within 10 years sort of idea?
Well, Kyle is digging his phone out of his pocket. Y'all read any good books lately?
I watched that new Jack Ryan show.
Oh, is that good?
I liked it. I liked it a lot with Johnny Krasinski.
Is Mr. Krasinski a good Jack Ryan?
I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, it's interesting because Jack Ryan is a pretty generic name. So I look at it and be like, it's a spy named Jack Ryan.
Right. What's the difference? I think a lot of people were initially giving him some shit because they're like, that guy's not an action star. But it's like, but the reality is that Jack Ryan is a fucking analyst.
Yeah. He's like the guy that gets pulled into stuff and he's yeah. like, what am I doing in Russia? And then there's an agent, right?
And then he's like, oh yeah, but I do have a military background, so I can shoot a gun.
You're holding it the wrong way, Jack Ryan. Oh, sorry. Oops. I can tell you everything about this gun, though.
Yeah. I can tell you everything about the economy of...
Yeah, I got another for you. Like, I'm sure if I went through all the articles I just looked up, I could give you a date, but I cannot.
Yeah.
for the sake of time, I can't.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I just was wondering if it was like in the 70s or in the 90s or in the 2000s or, but like if it was any time that's sort of recent, like within the last 15 years,
mm-hmm.
that just seems like, oh man, yeah, a lot of people are going renewable. A lot of people, you know, we got car companies making electrics, hybrid cars. This, everyone is always going to use oil. This is never going to go bad. Let's run it, man. Let's run with this. Give people some free money.
Well, you know, it's the thing that
I saw a guy using one of those automobiles.
It is short-sighted, but it's so much
those
money
things will never
like,
catch
yeah,
on.
Make the money.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
But then they also gave it away. But see, that's my, and that's just about politics. I think if you say any ism, yeah, to the extreme, they can be dumb and you can make stupid decisions when you're a socialist or socialist country. Yeah, you're gonna suffer. But there's probably a smart way to do that.
Yeah.
It just depends on how you do it.
I think the United States is probably in like a relatively good position to try something like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Because anytime I talk to people about this kind of thing and they bring up the examples of, well, anytime like I bring up, say the word socialism or democratic socialism, people always bring up, you know, the example of Venezuela and Russia and China. Although people have stopped saying China now because China's just beaten the shit out of everybody and everything. So they've stopped saying China.
I put
China.
All my money in Hong Kong dollars.
I've seen so much of China in movies. So like, I bet that's a Chinese superstar in that movie.
Yes. Hey, it's my good friend Jackie Chan. Chinese,
I haven't seen him in a while.
Chinese pop singer Jackie Chan.
Yeah, so
Kyle is thinking
people
about
will
something.
People will bring up those examples, but at the same time, like while they're bringing up those examples, I will just immediately think, you know, there's some huge differences between America and those countries, right? I mean, because it's like this. So let's just put the example of Karl Marx on the board. People like, and you can think whatever you want to think about Karl Marx, but at the same time, obviously, he was not a capitalist. But if you read the things that he wrote, just like if you read the Communist Manifesto at all, you will see that he wasn't a dumb person. and he definitely wasn't blind. Like, he hated capitalism, and he was 100% communist, but he saw, like, the good things that capitalism does. Like, it was just like, all right, we get technology and medicine and all these other things from capitalism, and that's great. But he also, like, made the point of, like, okay, if this thing... It's just the point that you guys just made. If this thing gets taken too far, then it just consumes itself. And just like society just kind of collapses or just becomes, or no one has any upward mobility at all, and things just kind of stagnate and people become real unhappy and things get destroyed.
Right. There's no reason, you have no reason to strive for something, then it makes life a little bit harder. Like, it's just talking about the basics. Just have zero of the basics, but then you can still try to do something else on top of it.
Right. And so
those people just there bored and not doing anything.
Yeah, like people, I think, automatically think that if you go a little bit this way, then it's like extreme socialism. Like, no, we're scrapping everything else and we're going fully.
And so just like, well, just continuing from, I guess, the Karl Marx point, like, it seems like he really understood that in order for his political ideology to survive, and I guess to, like, by extension or by association for, like, any kind of form of socialism or democratic socialism to survive, all of it had to be built upon a foundation of just like a long period of capitalism, just like a seriously super long period of capitalism, which is what we've had in America for forever. So we've had that period of capitalism to where it's gotten to the point where, like, it, I don't want to say unsustainable because that seems alarmist, but it's gotten to the point where it is doing, I'll just be nice and say, just as much harm as it's doing good. And so now we are faced with the situation where, like, we have to either keep doing things the way we're doing them, or we have to do something differently.
That frustrates me, because you have that debate, and then it turns into, like, what you're saying, Matt, to where it goes, no, if you talk about it, you got to be in the extreme. It's like, you don't have to throw everything out. It's the idea to where all of a sudden one thing changes and nothing's ever the same and the system's going to break. Be like, no, maybe we did figure out some stuff.
Yeah, it's like,
you got to adjust.
It's like those people who, like, take jabs at universal health care, and they're just like, you know who else wanted universal health care? Hitler. And then you have to just, like, kind of sit there for a second, and you won't say this because it'll make you look bad, but you'll think it. And this is a joke that I got from someone else. I can't remember the comedian's name, but I wish I did. And basically he said someone told that to him, and he just said, yeah, healthcare wasn't really the biggest gripe with Hitler. That's not what we were really concerned about. There were a couple of other things concerning things.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Hitler was also a painter, which is to say, we need to get rid of all the painters. Now, I think there's 50 states. It would make sense if a state tried it. Like, you don't have to do everybody at once. But, like, Alaska gives away some money from their oil reserves. But anyway, Alaska has a minimum income a little bit.
One last point on Karl Marx and his thoughts on the relationship between capitalism and socialism and communism. So it's worth mentioning that at least most of the countries that Karl Marx, like, because he made a list of all the countries that he felt would be prepared for, like, his brand of communism. And the thing that, like, most people are surprised to learn is that most of the countries on that list are not the countries that, like, we know now to be communist. Like, Russia wasn't on that list because he knew that there wasn't capitalism on there. But America was on that list, and I think England was on that list. But the common thread between those two countries and the other countries that were on the list was that all of them were, like, really intensely capitalistic cultures, and which just feeds into his idea that if you're going to have socialism or communism, then it's going to have to be built on long periods of capitalism. All right. Sorry. That was a tangent.
No, it's related.
All right.
I think I've exhausted all ideas that I have.
On basic minimum income?
On basic minimum income.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
If at Karl Marx is so smart, then why is he dead?
Good question.
I don't know. You're right.
To be socialism answered.
And Marxism is stupid.
To be answered on the next episode of Jambalaya.
It's a mystery.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.